Sunday, July 2nd, was for us two anniversaries, Lucy's 20th birthday and Lyndon's 12th anniversary, since that heart attack that still divides our lives rather like a fault line across a landscape. We awoke with that delicious, marvelous feeling of justified rest, holiday, after a severe, protracted strain of work. Few times in his life do I remember a harder 2 or 3 weeks for Lyndon than those that ended on Thursday when we flew down for Uncle Huffman's funeral. And today we were just emerging into the full joy of relaxation that was earned. If I could graph the past year, there would be a decided downturn that took place sometime after our return from the summit conference in the Philippines. If the graph broke dramatically downward on election day in November, I did not fully understand it then, but as the weeks wore on, the feeling of being beleaguered, pummeled, cornered by obstacles and problems mounted. Sometime in late March, there seemed to be a break and a start upward, a slow ascent that perhaps reached its zenith with the Middle East crisis and the Kosygin meeting. And here we were, at the end of it, the polls once more high, and a sense of well-being running through the office, through the country, through us. Lyndon woke in an ebullient mood and began to plan a picnic for Marie and John Criswell and Vicky and Simon. He called Marie in and said, "Now why don't you take the boat and get Mary to fix up some fried chicken and some deviled eggs?" He even had the menu laid out. And he turned to me and said, "Don't I have sweet people?" Marie said, "You are a sweet man. We're so lucky to have her." So off they went on the picnic with a big basket to the big boat. And Lyndon and I drove to church alone, just the two of us. Here at this well-populated ranch, that seldom happens. We went to the Christian church in Johnson City. The mellow old pews and old pulpit from the church in Buda make a pleasant difference, as do the windows that are no longer garish colored, but quite simple, rather frosted. And there were fresh flowers from gardens, marigolds and zinnias decorating the church. Afterwards, we spoke to half the congregation as we walked down the aisle, and out in front, faithful Helen Thomas had recruited quite a group of photographers. We'd actually slipped into church alone, unnoticed. We rode back by the Lewis Ranch, a brief trip over the sun-baked hills, and then back to the house by 1 for a rather early lunch as our life goes here, and then a nap for a blissful, euphoric time. Lyndon really stepped, and I used the time to work. Lucy and Pat are staying at the Cedar House, Patrick Lyndon and Miss Feller in the back bedroom, and Father Kiefer, who has melted into the household as if we'd known him all our lives, in the tiny room in the middle. We see them at meals, and at least once a day, Lyndon and I walk up there or drive by and stop for a visit with the baby. Lyndon holds him with the most amazing ease, and Lucy acts as though this is what she's been waiting for all her life. Assured, happy, but just as anxious to be size 7 and changing clothes 4 times a day. What a totally female little person she is. It was a luxurious long afternoon, and then about 5 we all gathered, Lucy and Pat, Mary and Jim and Father Kiefer, and left the ranch and the chopper, stopping at the Krim Ranch to pick them up, along with Marie and John Criswell and the MacHughes, who had finished that picnic and boating, and we went to the beach house. Lyndon and the young crowd took the speedboat, and I went in the big boat with Arthur and Father Kiefer and an occasional exchange of others. I had brought along Thornton Wilder's The 8th Day, but it could not compete with the beauty of the twilight and lying on top of the boat looking at the sky. At Rehoboth Beach, Linda Bird was doing the same. She had sounded quite excited, really exhilarated, about going to the beach with a bunch of young people. Chuck Robb was her date, and there would be some NCS girls in the crowd. We gathered at the Haywood Ranch a little before 8. The Hills and the Morsons and the West joined us for dinner. We had a birthday cake for Lucy, white with lemon filling, and candles, and we all sang under the live oak trees on the brick-paved terrace. And I wished we had made pictures of it. as I watched her intent little face blowing out the candles and remembered the 6-year-old face that I had recorded with my own movie camera. We didn't have any gifts in hand for her. The promise of copies of the old movies of her when she was 2 weeks old and on up, and of a screen to show her own movies on. Lennon had given them an 8mm movie camera the Christmas before, and a projector sometime. I had Wesley on my right and John Hill on my left, and it was an evening of serenity and contentment. And I felt for Lyndon it must be like the balm of Gilead. We went home right after dinner, about 11 o'clock, and a rub and bed wound up this good day.